It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
And good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. It is the time of the year when we do a five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors as a chance to hear straight from the elected leaders about issues facing both their individual districts and the county as a whole. Today we're joined by Ryan Campbell, who represents District 2. Supervisor Campbell, good to see you again.
Oh, great to see you, BJ.
So remind us, for anybody who's unfamiliar with District 2, where does it all cover?
Well, District 2, number one, it's the greatest district in all of Tuolumne County, which is the greatest county in the state of California. No bias at all on my part, though. I got to say that at the outset. But roughly, District 2 approximates the northern section of Tuolumne County. So the major neighborhoods that I represent include Phoenix Lake Estates, includes Willow Springs and Sulsbyville, all the way up to Crystal Falls, Cedar Ridge, and Big Hill, and then lots of jackrabbits and poison oak up in the high country.
Unique district. It doesn't have like a town like Tuolumne or Twain Hart or Sonora?
No, there are no incorporated towns in District 2. There's a lot of communities, a lot of homeowner associations, and we have some industrial zones on Longeway Road. And a lot of the timber companies are based in District 2.
Any projects specific to District 2 recently in the county?
Well, we've had if people haven't noticed, there's been a tremendous amount of road work in Tuolumne County in general over the past 6 months. And specifically, I'd say the majority of that work has been in my district, in District 2. So some of the big projects that you can look at are like the Phoenix Lake Road project. You can look at Kewin Mill Road project, which was a major undertaking. It was basically a road that had not been repaired in 30 years, being completely redone. And we can talk a little more about that community and its vulnerability to evacuation. But we're also looking at a project on Crystal Falls Drive, which is the major collector road for Crystal Falls, which is one of the more populated areas. We've also completed projects on Willow Springs Drive, and Standard Road is one that I think a lot of people would be familiar with. I've been trying to work on that for basically since I got on the Board of Supervisors. The reason Standard Road was so important to me and to the district I represent is that we have lots of ways to go east and west in Tuolumne County, not a lot of ways to go north and south. And so Standard Road's one of those key north-south connection roads, and it was in terrible shape. And if you drive down it now, it's nice and smooth, nice blacktop.
Yeah, a lot of people, I'm sure, are very pleased to see Standard Road, you know, fixed and much smoother now. I know there were some concerns when Tuolumne Road was taking place at the same time. Does the county have say as to when road projects can occur?
You know, what I'll say to that, and that's something I've heard a lot about from my constituents, is like, why are these projects all happening at the same time? There are reasons for that. Some of the reasons are that we had historically bad weather over the winter season. So some of the projects that we had hoped to do last spring and early into this spring, we weren't able to do because the weather was just not cooperating. And so it all got kind of pushed into this narrow window where, you know, our road crews, you know, they have just been kicking butt and doing as many projects as quickly as possible. And that's been my direction to them. That's been the board's direction, is just get out there and get it done. So I am perfectly happy to take any kind of criticism about having so many projects happening all in a narrow span, because at the end of the day, 10 years from now, we're going to have roads in much better condition. And we are getting these roads repaired. So if it does cause some minor, some inconvenience to people getting to work late, you know, that's really, it's difficult. But in the long run, I think it is it's an inconvenience that has a reason. And I think it's worthwhile to get these things done.
You know, looking at your district, as you just laid it out earlier, it is a lot of fire-prone parts of the county. Is there much being done when it comes to evacuation planning?
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned the Kewin Mill Road project before, and that is central to that. And the reason why that community is kind of a poster child for fire evacuation is that there is one major road that gives you access to that community, and that road is Kewin Mill Road. It's been overgrown. The the road is narrow. It's poorly maintained. It was never really built right to begin with. And so making sure that the road is opened up and available to traffic is critical to the safety of about 1,300 residents in that community. But that's not the only one. You know, you can look at Ponderosa Hills, even up in Twain Heart or Confidence. There are few modes of evacuation up there. And so making sure that the roads are safe and passable during an emergency is really critical. You know, our county is, I would say, number one in the state in terms of advocating for our fire safety at the state and federal level. I'll just give you an example. Since 2017, we have received $61 million in grant funds for home hardening projects. We got a $20 million grant just for home hardening. We have $3.7 million for defensible space clearing on in select areas throughout my district and throughout District 3. And so we are very, very proactive in terms of making sure that the vegetation is dealt with, that the evacuation routes are open. And, you know, we're in a much better position now than we were years past. Now, there's still a ton of work left to do, but we're on the right track, I think.
You know, looking back, this is the 10-year anniversary of the Rim Fire this year. You're one of the longest-serving supervisors. You weren't there when the Rim Fire happened, but you were very active in the community back then. You know, looking back to that point to now, do you feel that we're in a better spot or a more challenging spot when it comes to preparing for future wildfires?
Yeah, and I wasn't on the board during the Rim Fire, but I was definitely in Tuolumne County, and I remember it quite well. I remember seeing the planes flying over my house. Yeah. We are in a phenomenally better position than we were during the Rim Fire. I think that the Rim Fire was really the event that sparked the progress toward having these extremely destructive fires throughout the state of California. If you look at the time period prior to the Rim Fire, there were severe fires, there were complex fires, there were different events that would threaten lives and property, but nothing that was nearly as explosive as the Rim Fire. And then, of course, you know, now with hindsight, we know that the Rim Fire was just the beginning. We've had, you know, deadly destructive fires almost on a yearly basis throughout California ever since then. But I would say, to our county's credit, we haven't been sitting on our hands. You know, that was a wake-up call. And if we don't listen to that wake-up call, it's on us. So, you know, some of the vegetation projects I mentioned, just changing the mindset of the average property owner that if we live in this beautiful country in Tuolumne County, we all have a responsibility and agency over the safety of our property and that of our neighbors. We can't just say, you know what, trees grow, it's not my, we have to be stewards of our own properties. That change of the mindset, I think, has taken a long time, but people are starting to get there and are starting to understand that there's extra responsibility that we take on as a resident of Tuolumne County.
Need to take a break. We're talking with District 2 Supervisor Ryan Campbell on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We're kicking off a 5-part series talking with the individual supervisors on this weekend's show. We'll have more with Supervisor Campbell in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with District 2 Tuolumne County Supervisor Ryan Campbell. Supervisor Campbell, we ended this last segment talking a lot about fire risk in District 2. I imagine most people in your district are on the FAIR plan, correct?
Yeah, I mean, countywide, more than 50% of the county is on the FAIR plan, and I would estimate in my district it's at least two-thirds.
So anything that the county can do to help those people?
Well, we are doing what we can, but it's a problem that is much larger than Tuolumne County, and it's much larger than any one district. I'll be really frank about it. We're getting ripped off. Tuolumne County residents are getting ripped off and gouged by an insurance industry that sees that that the fat times are not going to last forever, and so they're trying to get squeeze as much profit out of our residents as quickly as they can while they can. It's unsustainable. It's impacting our ability to market to a new generation of home buyers. It's scaring our current residents away from living here because they simply can't afford to live here because of fire insurance, which is unheard of. You know, if you're looking at $6,000 to $10,000 additional every year just to pay for fire insurance, it's unacceptable. It's almost, I mean, just think if you put that amount of money into a money market bank account and just left it alone, you'd have a pretty good chunk of change after a not very long period of time. But unfortunately, most of us can't afford to do that. And so that's what the insurance industry is there to do. But now they're charging rates that nobody can afford.
And one of the recent supervisors, didn't you say something kind of to paraphrase that Tuolumne County is being unfairly targeted as opposed to some of the surrounding counties?
Well, we're absolutely being unfairly targeted. I mean, if you look at, I mean, we talked about the change from the time of the Rim Fire to now, okay? So there has been, like I said, $61 million spent on fuels management and opening up roads and defensible space around private homes. And so we're in a much better overall position in our county with respect to the risk that insurance companies face by insuring local homes. And yet, the opposite is true if you look at the rates of insurance that are applied to residential homes. So while we're mitigating so much risk in Tuolumne County, we're not seeing any benefit from it in the level of insurance rates that that we're receiving. And that's where I think the insurance commissioner and the state legislature need to step in and advocate for us. And myself, my entire board, this is one of those issues where I think you'll get a similar answer from all five Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors, because we all see the critical emergency situation that we're facing in Tuolumne County in terms of fire insurance. And we need our state level leaders to advocate for us and to fight for us, because if they don't, we are just too small of a county. We don't have enough energy or clout to be able to fight an insurance industry that's worth tens of billions of trillions of dollars.
Let's get into another hot button issue, homelessness, next. You have the Navigation Center coming to your Soulsbyville district. The county is moving toward purchasing the Miners Hotel in Jamestown and various properties in Sonora. At one point, there was talk about the hotel in Columbia. You know, what's your opinion about how the county is addressing homelessness?
Well, I mean, the county has chosen a path to do something about homelessness, and that's never an easy thing to do, because for as many people you'll get, everyone will agree on the idea that we need to do something about homelessness in Tuolumne County. No one will agree on exactly what that is. And so I think it takes a lot of courage to be able to stand up and say, we're going to try something. It may not be successful, but I think we have done what we can do to maximize the chances of success in Tuolumne County. If you look at the areas where there is money available, it's things like purchasing properties, things that are like disused hotels, which that's one of the properties. Things like the Navigation Center, that was a former memory care facility. A lot of that is being funded at the state level. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to walk away from support from the state because we just don't want to do anything about homelessness? Now, I'm not willing to do that. I think if there is an opportunity there to do something positive by, you know, not housing every single person, right? We're not going to be able to fix every person that has a drug problem, every person that has a mental health issue, but we'll be able to help some of them. And I think that if we can help some people, then that's worth doing.
Seems like you've been for most of the projects except for the Soulsbyville project. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I mean, my main objection to that is that we had passed over other properties up to that point that I think would have been more suitable for the purpose that that's being used for. And to me, it's very disingenuous to select a property for the purpose of a navigation center based on the ability of that community to organize in opposition to it, rather than choosing a property that is right for the situation that we're looking for. Now, that being said, you know, the board chose to go that direction, and you know, I'm one vote out of five, and I've been one vote out of five in the past. So I want to see it succeed. Now that that decision has been made, I'm doing everything I can to make sure that it's successful. Because if I was to just, you know, wash my hands of it and say, you know, it wasn't my idea, it's not what I wanted, to me, that wouldn't be serving my community.
You know, as a supervisor individually, do you have any concerns just about kind of building up these projects and buying these properties, like using state money right now, but then down the road, the fear that maybe state funding could eventually dry up?
Well, if state funding dries up, then it dries up. You know, it's not the first time that that's happened. I think right now there's a pretty strong commitment at the state level to fund these projects. I think there is money there. It's been set aside. So I'm pretty comfortable about the future of these projects in the short term. You know, 5-10 years from now, who can say? I mean, really, it's hard to predict those kind of things, and we can't make decisions based off of economic indicators that don't exist yet. You know, it's we have to look at what is available now, what opportunities are available to us, and these properties, I think, are for the most part going to do a lot of good in our community and helping the people that are the most vulnerable into Wyoming County, and also addressing some of the health and safety and just general enjoyment of our community issues that we've been seeing. And I mean, anybody that's walked up and down downtown Sonora knows what I'm talking about.
Are you optimistic it'll put a big dent towards the solution?
You know, I don't know about it. Yeah, I would say it would make a big dent. I mean, if you look at the total number of rooms that we're talking about, it's less than 100. And, you know, our last point in time count, and that's a count of the total number of people that are homeless in our community, that's over 800. So let's say, really, I mean, that if we want to get serious about it, it's probably in the 1,200 to 1,500 people that are homeless in the community. So saying, you know, we have 100 rooms for 1,500 people, is that making a dent in the problem? Yes and no. You know, it's not reducing that total number of people that are homeless in a very large way, but we are able to target the people that are at the most risk. And I think that's really critical, because, you know, you have people that possibly could get out there and find other places to live, other ways that they could get housing. But these are for people that are unable to do that, or they are just on the edge to where they could get a job. They could get to a point where they could help themselves. They just need that extra little push from the community. And I think if we can provide that, and the Navigation Center, I think, is a good example of that. If we can provide that push to get people into housing, then more people can come in to follow them. And over time, it could have a real positive impact, I think, on the total number of homeless in our county.
How about the issue of just housing in general? There was a housing forum not too long ago that some supervisors were involved with, as well as TCAR and the Business Council. And, you know, finding a rental, finding housing to purchase is a challenge right now in Tuolumne County for many people. Is there anything that the county can do to help local residents?
You know, housing is ridiculous right now. And from where I stand, it's hard to... This is another one of those issues that I think is a lot bigger than Tuolumne County. I mean, if you look at any other place in the state, they're all facing housing issues. They all have rents that are, you know, way higher than they should be. All of the mortgage rates are ridiculous, you know, and also add on that the fire insurance issue, which we talked about. The areas where I think the county can help is reducing the red tape that's involved with new development. Now, I think we've done that. I think we've made some substantial improvements in the requirements for development in Tuolumne County and the time that it takes to go from submitting your plans to actually, you know, turning soil and getting work started. But there are other factors that really the county doesn't have a lot of control over. The cost of materials, for example, the cost of labor when you hire a contractor to build. Those are things that are really unreasonable right now compared to years past. And so it makes our county a lot less attractive for development. For example, if you bought a, you know, half-acre parcel in Tuolumne County and you wanted to develop it for a, you know, your standard three-bedroom, two-bathroom house, okay, you could bring all your materials up here. You could bring your construction crew or hire locally, and you're going to be paying, you know, 10 to 15% more on those materials, 10 to 20% more for the labor than you would for a similar sized lot in the valley or in other places in the state. And add on to that, that our incomes in Tuolumne County are so much lower. So the number of people that could afford that property and afford to pay for it at the level that would make you a profit is much smaller. So your costs are lower in other parts of the state, and your potential pool of buyers is much higher elsewhere. And that's had a really negative impact on our county. And it's an issue that we've been struggling with. And we're, you know, I hate to sound pessimistic, but other factors, I think, in the overall economy of the state are going to have to change before we see substantial movement on that.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Supervisor Ryan Campbell on this weekend's Motherlode Views. He represents District 2. I'm PGA Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with District 2 Supervisor Ryan Campbell on this weekend show. We are kicking off a five-part series talking with the individual Tuolumne County supervisors, each of the supervisors over the coming weeks. You know, Supervisor Campbell, one thing we haven't talked about yet is the old courthouse building that's next to the government center downtown. Been a lot of talk about if that should be remodeled and the costs involved with that. I'm curious your opinion on what should be done with that old structure.
Oh, my God. That courthouse is... arguably, I mean, there's folks that would say the Red Church is the most beautiful. There's people that would say the Sonora Dome is the most beautiful. My personal bias tells me that the downtown Sonora Courthouse is the most beautiful architectural structure in Tuolumne County. I love the courthouse. It has so many positive qualities in our community, and just as a space for the public to use, I think it has so much potential. Right now, it's closed off. It's got a, you know, hurricane fence around it, I guess they call it a cyclone fence, right?
I believe so.
I think
yes,
I conflated
yes.
it. Yeah, it's got some barbed wire around it.
You can't get in anyway.
Not very attractive, and I'm afraid it's going to stay that way until we make the decision as a community to invest some energy into restoring that structure. And I think the Board of Supervisors took a pretty strong step in that direction just a couple of months ago.
So what exactly happened at the board meeting?
Well, we decided to hire a company that will develop a plan to install an elevator, which I'll just kind of talk briefly about that. That is the first step in this process, is building an elevator on the courthouse. Right now, there is no way to get from the ground floor to the third floor without using a very old and narrow staircase. That does not comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so to be able to use it as a public structure, we have to have some way for people with disabilities to get from one floor to another without using the staircase. So the plan is to basically take an elevator shaft and stick it on the outside of the building, make the exterior match the design of the courthouse, so that you won't even be able to tell it's different. And that will allow people to go from all the floors. Now, after that, then that's a big cost. You know, it's over $1 million to build an elevator of that type. After that happens, then we're going to start looking at restoration. So that the courthouse was used as our county courthouse for years. And, you know, there were walls put up in weird places. There were fixtures installed incorrectly. It has old carpet. You know, a lot of the woodwork needs to be restored. Actually, there were leaks in the ceiling. So if you go on the top floor, some of the roof is coming down. Some of the plaster is falling down. So there's a lot of work that needs to happen in there for it to be utilized as a space. But the main thing to me is that if we don't do anything, it's just going to keep getting worse. And we're going to end up with a scenario like we have at the Sonora Dome, where nobody's using it and nobody has for years. Or the Tuolumne General Hospital, where nobody's used that building for years. Or, you know, name any number of downtown storefronts that haven't been used for a long time. Because I think there's a temptation there to say, you know, restoration of an old building like that is expensive. And so let's just put it off till next year. Okay. And then you put it off till next year. Now the problem's gotten a little bit worse. Materials have gotten a little more expensive and there's a little bit more that you need to fix. So the temptation again is going to say, well, you know, we have a lot more immediate pressing issues. Let's put it off for another year. And you do that time and time again until you get to a point where there's restoration of the facilities not really feasible. So I don't want to get to that point. I think the time to act is now, and I think that's the direction that the board is moving in.
So is the long-term tentative plan still to use it maybe as a board of supervisors meeting room at some point?
Yeah, so this whole thing started with the overarching idea. I mean, one of the issues that has bugged me ever since my first year on the board of supervisors is the fact that the county of Tuolumne is at the same time the largest owner of square footage in terms of office space in the county. At the same time, we are also one of the largest renters of office space in the county. And so these two things don't make sense to me. If we have all of this vacant office space that's not being used, like Tuolumne General, like the downtown courthouse, like the Washington Street Courthouse, why don't we repurpose those buildings and put all those rented offices in there? We'll be saving money on rent because these are owned facilities. The taxpayer doesn't, you know, the taxpayer owns these buildings. So we need to start using them. So the elements of it that are most important to me is the fact is, number one, that we're restoring a treasure for our community. Number two, we're in the long run, we're saving money because we're not paying rent on all these other facilities. And the third is that, you know, unless you had jury duty or you were an attorney or you got in trouble and you needed to go to court, not a lot of people in the community got to go inside the courthouse. And so I want to make that thing opened up so that, you know, the public can utilize it for a variety of uses. And one of them would be for the Board of Supervisors. There would also be other public meetings like Planning Commission, a variety of other public uses on that historic courthouse courtroom. So I think that's really worthwhile endeavor.
Well, we've got just a minute left. Real quick, I want to ask you, I know the county is Board of Supervisors often try to get on board so they can have influence and help make decisions at the state level and that impact the local level. The California State Association of Counties, you have a new role with them, correct?
Yeah, so I was elected just this past month to the executive committee for the California State Association of Counties. It's kind of a big deal because there are 27 rural counties in California, of which Tuolumne County is one. And even though that's, you know, almost half the total number of counties in the state of California, we only get three spots on the executive committee. And so I was elected to one of those three spots. And as far as I know, nobody from Tuolumne County has served on the executive committee in a very long time, decades. And what that allows us to do is to advocate on the state level. So we are able to petition the governor directly. We are able to petition the legislature directly because, you know, when you get all of the counties in California working together, we have a very, very loud voice. And so to be able to make sure that that advocacy is not just restricted to the large population counties, the suburban counties, the urban counties, you know, that have millions of people, which we don't in Tuolumne County, but we do have a very strong voice, I think, within rural communities. And so my job on the executive committee is to make sure that we are not left behind.
Have to end on that note. We thank Supervisor Ryan Campbell for joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views, kicking off a series talking with the individual supervisors. Next week, we'll be hearing from District 5 Supervisor Jaron Brandon. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.